Here we go.
Warnings against sin and judgment are paramount in this book. Backsliding is the key word.
Jeremiah 1.
What are you doing? There are more references to Babylon 164 in Jeremiah than the rest of the Bible altogether.
Backsliding is the key word.
Hey, Jeremiah what?
1:1.
Someone said 2 a minute ago.
Jeremiah 1:1. Jeremiah is the probably in the last part of Israel as a nation. Jeremiah is the greatest of all the prophets. And it's interesting when you think about something that Jeremiah said worse stuff to Israel than Jesus did, but they didn't crucify him. He's now in here. Why isn't there a book of Jesus? You know, the prophet. If they, as I told you, what happened? They considered Christ's message so ultimately evil. I mean, his stuff was written down just like every other great prophet. He was, when someone was cast out the camp, I don't know if I've talked to this about before, they stood on the wall and blew a trumpet, a silver trumpet, and it was to signal all the residents of all the people in the temple and all the residents of Jerusalem that individual was anathema or accursed. And it was for that particular three ways in the Old Testament that you were anathema. One was for 3 days. One was for 3 days. One was for 7 days. One was for 30 days. And one was forever. Now, it was only on the one that was forever that they blew the trumpet and said that this man is accursed. He's outside the camp forever. Now, when Paul talks in the New Testament, we'll get into that later, you know, about turning such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh or being cast out the camp. Well, never once in the New Testament is the idea of forever ever even implied. It's always for chastisement, briefly. Like, you know, when Butch was cast out.
30 days.
And it was his, I mean, it was like a 30-day dealing. And some of you are cast out without you knowing it. I mean, in your mind, you're unclean, you touch the unclean thing, and you come in here, and because of sloth and because I don't feel like screaming at you, I'll let you stay. But I can sense that it's not. But that's not going to be that way for long. I mean, you end up in a position where you can't be any place but here. If you're any place but here, you're gone. So when Christ was cast out the camp, he was, number one, before he was crucified. Crucifixion was just to signify what had already been accomplished by the declaration of the Sanhedrin. When Christ was cast out, they didn't blow a trumpet. They were 400 trumpets that were blown on the wall.
Sanhedrin was pretty nervous.
Sanhedrin was big time nervous. You understand? I mean, he wasn't just cast out of the Jewish mind. He was cast out, of the place. He was cast out forever, past, present, and future. So his records by the Jewish Sanhedrin, by the scribes and others that considered him a great prophet, there were many of the 144,000 priests that believed on him. But his writings were struck as though they never existed. His preaching was struck from the records of the Jewish nation as though it never existed, as though he never existed. And in spite of all that, there are still, in spite of just trying to destroy everything as though that he never existed, there are still 161 references to Christ in the Talmud.
This is why they would have killed his family and followers.
Oh yeah, that's why Joseph of Arimathea and his mother and others had to flee. I mean, they weren't welcome in Israel any longer. All right. So my point to you is that this, though, that Jeremiah, if it was just the words of Jeremiah, I mean, the words of condemnation, etc., the words that Jeremiah said were worse than the words that Jesus said. But so there was something else going on. Okay, but now let's go to Jeremiah 1:1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee.
Where? 5.
Verse 5.
1:5.
Okay.
Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, he's not talking about, he's not a little kid at this time. He's probably about 30 years old. This is as much to you as it is to Jeremiah. You understand? But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Now, he's not going to command you by having a little receiver in me. He's not going to get in there and say, Rick, say this. He's going to command you by you knowing that there is no thought that originates within you that isn't from him. And when that certainty comes upon you, then look out, world. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Why did he put that there? I wonder why he did that. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Now, whether you know that or not, that is what took place in you. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, the word build there is the word that's used in the book of Genesis where it says God made the bride. It means, in the New Testament, translates it as edify. Edify means to build. So that's all he's doing. He's only building one thing in time and space. He's building a bride. He's building the bride by planting the seed. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now, what the hell does that mean?
We talked about this before, something about the almond tree.
The almond tree, in the midst of the winter, bloom, buds. And when you see the almond tree, in the midst of the winter, you see the life of Christ in you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the environment looks like. When I look at you, I see the almond. That's what Aaron's rod was made from. And it budded without being planted in anything.
Since it's
a dead stick that budded.
I don't know why, but I want to tell you this. A friend of my father's is an old Prussian who was running around during World War I, homeless and all this stuff. People have been killed, and seen his parents killed and all this stuff. And he told me one night that one of the things that he saw that just got him through it was, he was going through the Argonne or someplace, and here was a rifle with a bayonet on it that had been stuck into a dead body in water, and the stock of the rifle had sprouted.
Wow.
Okay. Then said the Lord to me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I can't tell you what this means. You've got to see. It means to for you to see, no matter if you're looking at a rod, that it's finished. It's the same thing that Christ said. When he said to the disciples, look, say not that there are yet 4 months under the harvest. Look out and see that the field is white. Now, at the time of the year he said that, they just planted the seed. There was absolutely nothing there but barren ground. And Christ said to them, say not there shall yet be 4 months under the harvest, but say the field is white. Now, the only way you can say that is if you see that.
Yeah.
It's finished.
What do you mean white?
White unto harvest. It means that
when the wheat gets...
The top of the wheat, the chaff, the little covering on it, looks white when it's ready to harvest. Okay?
Yes.
And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Now, all...
What's it mean, seething pot?
Seething means boiling. A boiling pot. It's like...
Like a pot of boiling water.
Well, yeah, but it's worse. It's like a witch's cauldron. All the time in the scriptures, to the north is evil. To the south is the hidden mystery. To the east is to self. To the west is the mercy seat. Because the reason it's the south is so important, because in the skies, as we'll see in the star charts, in fact, it's the next thing we're going to start studying it, but we'll see the Southern Cross.
Wasn't there a queen of the south, too?
Yeah.
And we're going to the northeast.
Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north shall... And by the way, the north always signifies Babylon. That's the other thing. North always signifies the evil of Babylon, false religion.
That merits
repeat. Okay, the north signifies evil or the south?
North.
Yeah, and north. We're going to the northeast this summer.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north shall an evil break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call the families of the kingdoms of the earth, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who hath forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. That's what happened in Israel. Now the nations are still doing that to the New Jerusalem. You understand? God intends that all nations flow into Jerusalem. All people. The New Jerusalem. We'll see that in a minute. But all nations, in truth, are against the New Jerusalem. Okay. Therefore, gird up thy loins, and arise. Speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, now this is what I want you to concentrate on. For behold, I have made you this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land. He's talking to one man. He's a defense city, an iron pillar, and brass walls against the whole land. Nothing in the land is on his side. And it's the same now. Never changes. Against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Well, that's our heritage. You're in for the biggest battle you've ever even dreamed of. But you're assured victory, no matter what it looks like. You're in for the steepest climb you've ever even dreamed of making. But his hand is upholding you. You're in for the reason time and space were created.
Oh, That was the thing that happened that night when I was in the hot seat, is that nothing that could happen to me on earth, nothing that could happen to me in the flesh could ever be important in comparison to what I was forgiven. I mean, it was just like,
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen. Yeah. I mean, God is preparing a people. A peculiar people. That,
Bizarre.
That's what really struck me, reading Hebrews last night. Several times you hear the, I will write my law in your mind and in your heart, and you will be to me a people, and I will be to you your God. And the thing that had always disturbed me in Hebrews 11 was the deal about how these guys had not been willing to give up or not been willing to accept release for wanting of a better resurrection.
Yeah.
And I thought, that was so crazy. You know, I mean, it just seemed to me like, wow. It never registered until last night as I was reading through the whole thing in context, and I saw that they had seen through to see God.
Same as you.
Yeah. And he goes through talking about people being sawed in half and ripped apart and saying, of whom the world was not worthy, which was Christ. It was neat.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. Now, who's Jerusalem now? From our standpoint, the whole world is Jerusalem. Because wherever anyone is, the New Jerusalem is the overriding reality. There's no place that you can go. God has established the bounds of your habitation. There's no place that we can go where we're not in Jerusalem. You understand? Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Now, hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me? I mean, there's not one of us in whose that case isn't true. Our fathers have gone far from Jehovah to chase their own idols, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain. Fruitless is what vain means. It doesn't mean vain, oh, I'm pretty. In the scriptures, vain or vanity means without redeeming value, without purpose, fruitless. They have walked after vanity and are become themselves vain. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Now, every time the word abomination is used in the Old Testament, you can bet something. You can bet he's talking about high place identities. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Does it sound familiar? Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Now, that mean that's just going. Go look at some other people. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate. Talking to the heavens, to the stars. Your light has gone out. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns. You've dug your own cistern.
What's a cistern?
Place to hold water. You've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Can never be stimulated. You constantly have to offer new stimulation. The living water is what gives you stimulation in your life. So rather than going to him, the river of living water, which is the ultimate of stimulation, you go to all the other places, and by in the spirit what you are doing is you're digging out your own cistern, but you're not only digging it out, you're digging it out and then you're whapping it so there's a crack in it. And so you drink for a while out of the cistern, pretty soon there's no water. Then you drink for a while and the water tastes bad. Well, that's what in the spirit you do whenever you go anywhere else for stimulation. Some of your cisterns have great big monster. I mean, they're, you know, it's like you're trying to pour water into half a basketball. It's on its upside down. All right. Is Israel a servant? Is he homeborn, slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. The children of Noph and Tophanes have broken the crown of thy head. That's Egypt, the world. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? To drink the waters of Sihor. Those are, again, that's the stuff in Egypt, in the world. Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the water of the rivers? That's in Babylon. You know, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou didst said, I will not transgress. And upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. Now God defines you playing the harlot when you go somewhere else for your sustenance, when you do something for money. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, a holy right seed, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. In other words, it can't be washed off. Washed off. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways. That means you're like you're a camel in heat. Well, that's what God sees you as when you run chasing this shit. You're a camel in heat.
Yeah.
That's not a pretty sight.
No.
Traversing her ways.
Better ride a camel.
Oh, they're evil. They always spit on you. I mean, they really, and it's smelly spits.
They stink, they're stupid, they're ugly.
They make ugly faces. They taste like that.
Okay, now again, not only are you a camel in heat, now you're a wild ass in heat. A wild ass, used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure.
Snuffeth up, what is that?
That means you're looking for...
Smelling around.
You're smelling, you want some dick. You're smelling after some dick.
Okay.
You got it?
Unfortunately, that's what it means.
Well, I know, but I just...
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Well, I mean, that's what it means.
I just said that.
I wish God was more polite. You know, he could have thought of a nicer way to say it.
A wild ass, used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? Have you ever seen a wild ass in heat?
No.
You know, I've seen a lot of them.
Have you ever turned it away?
What? Once or twice. All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou saidest, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. Mm-hmm. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, sang to a stock, Thou art my father, and to a stone, Thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, Arise now and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made? Let them arise. If they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Let now your stargazers, your monthly prognosticators, your systems, your intelligence, your schemes, your plans, your ambitions rise up and save you. From the sole of the feet even unto the top of the head there is no soundness in you, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And yet you continue on in your own ways. Kind of stupid, isn't it? It's because you don't know yet totally these truths. You still think there is some salvation by your own strength, some hope, some end result. If you can just be nicer, or if you can just do this a little better, or if you can just stop doing this, or if you can just start doing that, then maybe you'll do this. All right. Wherefore, verse 29, wherefore will you plead with me? Ye have all transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords. We will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love?
What does that mean?
Why adjust your way to seek love? You understand? it's going to get better here in a minute. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love?
Verse 32 reminds me of like, in the wrong way
down. Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. You understand? Most of you would not have understood anything about this had we not done the hot seat.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that. Right? Yeah. It was like, before I would have been sitting here going like this, you know, but now it's like I hear it and I know if it goes past.
Yeah,
me,
because so your life is Christ.
I'm like, why would you do something so stupid?
Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? I love that one. Man, if there is one thing I'd like to drum into each of you. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way?
Gad about.
Dance about, run about, trying to do this, trying to do that. You're gadding about.
Flip flat.
You're gad fly, right. Apostle Butch has spoken.
A blessing on the Apostle Butch.
Why, I'm going to say that three or four times.
Third time.
Why gaddest thou about?
So much.
So much.
Do the gad again.
Why gaddest thou so much?
No, I mean,
the arm
is
yeah.
I have to get
the arm.
You look
like a puppet.
About the orifice.
You are defiling the office.
You're defiling the gad.
Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. In other words, being ashamed of the world and being ashamed of Babylon, man, you don't have anything left. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences. That's just something we're saying. The Lord hath rejected thy mammon. The Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Why? Because they're dead shit. It's a new thing. That every desire of your heart is already complete within you. It's his good pleasure to give you everything with no effort on your part. Everything. They say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and turn and become another man, I gotta read this one. This is a good one. Gotta straighten up. I'm gadding about to straighten up. What? They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? That's why I said, for those of you that just got married or are getting married, from God's standpoint, you're virgins. That's a neat thing. Because of the cross, there's new creation. Hadn't been there before. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return unto me, saith the Lord. Now this is my favorite one of all. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lain with. Who didn't you fuck? That's what he said. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lain with, and the ways thou hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness. Again, now we got, first of all, you're a camel in heat, then you're a wild ass in heat, now you're an Arab in heat.
Another nanosecond and you'll be back.
One, two, three, four.
And thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden. Showers always indicate revelation. No, that's not right. They indicate clarity of revelation. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Now some of you know exactly what that's talking about. Mm-hmm. The whore's forehead is cause and effect. You understand that? I got to do something to get this. You despise grace. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not. Returned is a great word. In the Hebrew, it's shub. And it means abandon yourself, is what it means. Return means to repent, is the way it's translated if it's from the Septuagint. But it means to abandon, to turn from self, to go, to stop. Don't face east anymore, face west. Thy sin is forgiven as far as the east is from the west.
Face the mercy seat.
Face the mercy seat. The grace seat. All right. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for this all her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Now in the spirit you are the treacherous sister Judah. Because you just feign. I mean, we, not you personally, but the quote-unquote the church. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Now that's what you guys did on the hot seat. You said you were without hope. Now, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now Zion is the mount. Zion, and we that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. And I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. That's my only role. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more.
You know what? Mm-hmm. Until now, I kept thinking this all applies to the. You could say that this applies to the second temple and the second Jerusalem after the captivity and all that, but this.
This wipes it out.
Dispenses with that.
Yeah. The idea of you shall no more say the ark. The reason you shall no more say it is because and it shall not come to mind and conceive it anymore because it's in you.
You shall be it.
You shall be it. It shall be carried on you here in your shoulders. That which the first has been done away. All right. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, the new Jerusalem. That's what we're doing. Not some city. And all the nations shall be gathered into or unto it. And in the Hebrew, it says they shall flow into it. And you got to get this image that you've seen in some of these space movies, you know, of time or space or the flow. You know, going in. Well, that's what's happening in the Spirit. We are flowing into the New Jerusalem.
Wow.
Okay. To the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. Doesn't say after their evil imaginations. It said after all their imaginations. That's not what you walk after anymore. You no longer make judgments vis-a-vis the flesh or what you're... You make judgments based on a new thing. You see through everything to see the finishedness. You'd be surprised what that does to your mind. Once you see everything's finished, your mind doesn't have a chance. Doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. When you see and know everything is finished, your mind has but one thing, that's to say, oh shit, I give up, I quit.
Did you ever say this before?
In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall never again turn away from me. Now, I want to tie that. That's as far as we're going here. I want to tie that in to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, I think, or 60. Isaiah 60, excuse me. I mean, your heritage is big time stuff. I mean, it couldn't be any bigger. Isaiah chapter 60.
Did you say
60? 60. Now, remember, as he is in the world, so are we. Remember that? Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Now, that's simply another way of saying that because you're a co-inheritor with Jesus Christ, that everything in the universe exists for your purpose. I know you can't believe that. I know that, you know, most of you think so smallly of yourselves most of the time that it's hard to even consider some of the stuff I'm telling you. It's hard to even, and God, again, is going to show you. He's going to confirm the word of his servants. You understand? Now, we're moving in terms of time at light speed compared to the other group. But by the same token, we couldn't be here if it wasn't for the other group. And it, you know, like Don, you know, I can sense it. He came in with, you know, it's like the it's the grace of Isaac. It's instant revelation. I mean, it's like he sees. You know, he doesn't say much, but I can sense that he sees and is in total agreement. Remember I told you all before that each of us have three graces. The faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob represent the three graces. The grace of Abraham just keeps on going, says, oh, shit, I don't want to do this anymore. All of us have that one. The grace of Isaac says, okay, I'm ready. That's all I want. I don't care what it costs me. Knife coming down. But that's instant revelation. The grace of Jacob is the grace of struggle and the wrestling all night. But they're all equally important. There's no one better than the other. And all three of us have all three of them manifested. One is dominant. Amen?
Amen.
But interesting, I can feel, there's disturbance in the pool.
Stick your feet
in. You know, trouble, well, I guess, this is relevant or not, but you know, think about, we own all things. All things exist for our purpose, and all things happen that we might see. And you know the things we've been talking about you and radio shows and talk shows and all this stuff and opportunities. I turned on Nightline last night. Who is the guest on Nightline for the morning disc jockey from KEGL? And they're talking about this new phenomenon of shock radio. And I'm just sitting here and I'm listening, and here's a broad from the FCC. Here's Nat Hentoff, one of the most eloquent guys I've ever heard. And this kid
Moby,
and all this stuff's going on, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it, and I'm going, this is for our benefit. And what I clearly saw, I mean, there's a million things I didn't see, but what I clearly saw was Koppel, who I admire, who usually is so cool and gives the image of not having an opinion, lost it last night, because obviously he hates dirty radio. And he was trying to get Nat Hentoff to also condemn dirty radio.
Oh, Nat Hentoff.
Yeah. Well, Hentoff, he writes for the Village Voice.
Jazz Chris.
Oh, I know.
Great. I think a great writer. But also on the, a member of the board of the Civil Liberties Union, all the ACLU. Cop was trying to get Hentoff to knock down and say First Amendment doesn't cover this. And Hentoff, I mean, he was aghast. He said, of course it covers it. I mean, the framers of the Constitution wrote the First Amendment to protect people who say things that offend the community. And I thought, that's for us. And it's just because we will offend.
Anybody have anything else? Take it, big guy!